Okay. So, good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out in the rain. So, it's been a little bit of a break since we had our last discussion, our last class. So, just to bring everyone up to speed or remind everyone, we're towards the end of the first bracha. Last time we learned, we discussed Umevi Goel, Livnei V'nehem, Laman Shemo Bi'Ahava, and we actually jumped ahead and skipped Laman Shemo Bi'Ahava to talk about now, because I wanted to also jump ahead to Zachrinu L'Chaim, because our last class was before Rosh Hashanah. So we talked about Zachrinu L'Chaim. So I'm going to go back tonight to discuss Laman Shemo Bi'Ahava. So we say that Hashem is Gomel Chasadim Tovim. He does great kindnesses, or he does good, nice things, which we talked about. If there are bad kindnesses and good kindnesses, what does that mean? V'kone hakol, he acquires everything, or he creates everything, or we discussed that. V'zocher chaste avos, and he remembers the righteousness of the avos. U'mevi goel livnei v'nehem, and he brings a redeemer for their children's children, for their descendants. Lama'an shemo bi'ahava, for the sake of his name with love. So what do those words mean? What does it mean? Lama'an shemo, for the sake of his name, what does that mean? And bi'ahava, what does it mean that it's with love? So we'll do one step at a time. So lama'an shemo. So what is the idea of, you know, Hashem's name, and what does it mean that something is for the sake of his name? So at the end of Parshas Beshalach, which everyone should know because it's my bar mitzvah parsha, it says, we can also read it more than once a year, because it is the Torah reading of Purim. It contains the flip side to Parsha Zachor is in the Haftarah of Parsha Beshalach, right? It says Ki Yad Al Keis Ka Milchama Lashem Ba'amalek Midor Dor. It says that write this in a sefer and tell it to the Jewish people that there's a war, there is a hand raised on the throne of Hashem, a war of Hashem against Amalek, Midor Dor, from generation to generation. So in the Pasuk, it says, Yad al Keiska, there's a hand raised, in an oath, Rashi says, on the case of Ka, on the chair, the throne of Hashem. But the word Kisei is written missing the aleph at the end of Kisei, and the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is only just the first half of the name, the Yud Kei, it's the name of the Ka. And Rashi explains that the throne of Hashem and the name of Hashem are incomplete as long as Amalek is in the world. So as long as this milchama, this war against Amalek, is still being waged, is still ongoing, so there's a milcha that there's it's the ena kisei shalim, the ena shem shalim, that the throne is incomplete and the name is incomplete. So we're not going to talk about tonight exactly what the idea of the kisei of Hashem is. Maybe sometime we'll get back to that, but for our purposes, that says that the name of Hashem is incomplete as long as there is this war with Amalek, as long as Amalek is still a presence in the world. So what exactly is this idea of this war with Amalek? What is Amalek, and what's the war with Amalek, which affects the name of Hashem? So Amalek, we have a tradition, Amalek represents the idea of Safek. Amalek represents the idea of doubt. The word Amalek is the gematria of Safek. And we have in the Torah that when Klal Yisrael said Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im ayin, right, in Refidim, when Klal Yisrael said Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im ayin, is Hashem with us or is He not with us? Vayavo Amalek, and then Amalek came, right? That Amalek is the koach of Safek, is the koach of Amalek. So you have to understand, when we talk about just to be very clear about this, the word Safek is not a word that you actually find in the Torah. There is no word in the Torah that means suffix. You have in the Torah, you know, you have something which is not known. There's a series of, you know, im yelach hadavar nisalim meinei adayan meinei hashoftim meinei haida. You have some. The Torah does not have one word which means a doubt, which means something which is not known. There is no word in the Torah for doubt. The word safek, maybe sometime later we'll discuss exactly the, you know, why Chazal made up this word, this word safek, where it comes from, what is the Torah root of the word safek. But the idea of safek is something that it's not in the Torah. And if something is not in the Torah, what that really means is that it isn't real, that there is no such thing in reality as that concept. Because we have, the Zohar says that when Hashem created the world, histakel be'oraisa ubara alma, that Hashem looked into the Torah and used the Torah as the blueprint from which he created the world. And therefore, anything which is in the blueprint is what exists in the world. If you had someone who you have a projector screen and you have the slide, which is, you know, the film based off which the image is broadcast. If someone would go over, you know, you have the projector screen projecting an image onto the screen, and someone would go over to the screen and draw something on the screen itself. So now it looks like it's part of the image, but it's really something which has been superimposed onto the projection of the image. But it's not really part of the blueprint. It's not really part of the picture. So the same thing, safek, is the same thing. That it's something which is not in the Torah, which we find, you know, we seem to find in the world, that the existence of that thing is artificial. It's something which isn't really there, which really there's no reality or no room for the existence of that thing. It's been superimposed onto the projection of existence, but it's not really part of the blueprint. It's not something that's meant to be there. And that's Chazal say, out of context, but Chazal say, suffik kalape shemaya mi ika, that there's no such thing as a suffik in Shemayim. That Shemayim, there's, you know, obviously everything is clear and everything is known. So the idea of suffik is the idea of something which it's a doubt, is something which doesn't really exist. Now, what do we mean by that? Or what do I mean by that? So Amalek is a nation which is creating. They are the originator of this idea of safek. They are the perpetrator of safek. Safek comes into the world as a production of Amalek. It's a facade that they are bringing into the world. Amalek represents the lack of clarity in this world of the dominion of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like Chazal say, that when Amalek came and they attacked Klal Yisrael, it says, Vayikar, which the Rashi brings Medrash, that the word Vayikar comes from could be understood to come from the word kar, which means cold, that they cooled them down. And Chazal say, a mashal. They say that if you can imagine, there was this hot bath, this boiling hot bath, and everybody, you know, saw the bath, and everybody was, you know, they could see that the bath was boiling, and everyone was too afraid to jump in, and came along one nudnik, and he, you know, just goes right and jumps right in. He gets burned, but now everybody else sees, oh, this bath is not, you know, it's not so impossible, it's not so inconceivable to make your way into the bath. So says the Medrash, that's what Amalek did. What Amalek did was that they saw the bath is boiling. They see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting Klal Yisrael. They see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world and that he's in control. But they jump in anyways, because what Amalek represents, what Amalek is trying to show, to bring into the world, is the idea of being able to oppose Hashem. That the reality is that the true nature of the world is Ein Od Milvado, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is the only reality. The Nefesh HaChaim says, and we will talk about this more complete way at some other time, but the Nefesh HaChaim in Shaar Gimel says that it would be accurate to say, from an objective perspective, it would be accurate and true to say that we don't really exist. because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is the only real existence, and our existence is, so to speak, an engineered existence, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're only here because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a sense of our own existence. But in an objective perspective of reality, we would be correct in saying we don't really exist, and the world doesn't really exist. It's an engineered existence. It's a construct, and that's the reality of the world. Is Einon Milvado, that there is nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in absolute control of everything. Amalek comes to represent the false impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon could be opposed, could be contravened, could be subverted. The Ramchal in Das Tfunos discusses five different levels of Minim, of heretics, and the final level, the fifth level, he describes as someone who is Yodea es Boro Umiskavin Limrod Bo, somebody who knows his creator, who recognizes his creator, and intentionally rebels against him. So what's the mindset and what's the mission of such a person? Such a person knows they won't defeat Hashem. He knows, he understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator. He understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu is much bigger than him and much greater than him and much more powerful than him, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can obviously destroy him. And yet the person wants to, says, I know that I'm knowingly going to oppose HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the mission of such a person? Such a person, they're trying to show exactly that they have the ability to disobey. And that, in and of itself, they're asserting their own autonomy. They're saying, I know that I'll, you know, bear the consequences, but I am getting the experience of showing that I have autonomy. I have the ability to exert my own independent existence. They want to feel a reality of their own existence by denying that their existence is meyusad, is fundamentally predicated on something else. And the mission of Amalek was to convey the deception that there is a will other than that of Hashem. And Amalek is here to peddle this idea, which doesn't actually exist, because really, Einod Milvado, really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon is all that there is to existence. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way that that's not clear and obvious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way that we're able to not see that if we don't want to.
And have free will.
And have to have free will. And Amalek are the ones who come into the world to exert and to express this idea that we have the autonomy and the ability to oppose HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalek did not deny Hashem's existence. They weren't atheists. The Medrash says that Amalek was choseich milos v'zorik kalapei mala, that they, whatever it means, they cut off the mila and they threw it upwards towards Shemayim. That they acknowledged that Hashem was lamala. They acknowledged that Hashem was up there. But that was exactly their point, that Hashem is lamala. Hashem's up there. He's up somewhere up there. He has no connection to what goes on down here, chas v'shalom. And specifically the Bris Milah, which won't discuss now, but the Bris Milah demonstrates the kesher, the connection between the spiritual and the physical. It was that item, that which they tossed up and said that, you know, tossing it back up to Shemayim, that there's no connection. They said that Hashem is not in control of what goes on down here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he might be the creator, he might be all-powerful or whatever, but, you know, he created the world, and now the world does what it does, and, you know, it's we do what we want to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's up there somewhere and not involved. He doesn't necessarily even have, you know, a say in what goes on down here. We do what we want down here. So that Amalek, it's Yad al Kes Ka Milchama ba Amalek. That the Milchama, the war of Amalek, involves the name of Yudke. That we have different names of Hashem, and one of the names is Yudke. Like we say Hallelujah Ka, and we say Ka Ribon Olam, right? That Yud He is one of the names of Hashem. And it's that name of Hashem, which the milchama, which the war of Amalek, is related to. So Rashi brings that this name is really just a fragment of the full name, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It's just the Yud-Kei of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It's really just a fragment of the full name of Hashem. But we could add another level, that the fragment of the name, which is its own name, that Amalek is waging war against, is the name Yud-Kei. The war of Amalek is against the shame Yud-Hei. The Gemara in Menachos, in Chaf Tes Amud Beis, 29b, so the Gemara there says, discussing this name of Hashem, the Pasuk says, Ki beka Hashem tzur olamim. You remember that, and recognize that fragment of a pasuk from Menucha v'Simcha, one of the Zemiris we sing on Shabbos, Ki beka Hashem tzur olamim. So the pasuk says, Ki beka Hashem tzur olamim, that with ka, with Yud-Hei, Hashem tzur olamim. Hashem formed olamim, formed the worlds. And the Gemara says that Hashem formed the two worlds, the Shamayim and Aretz, the spiritual world and the physical world, with Yud and He. And the Gemara says that which one is which? Which one was with the Yud and which one is with the He? The Aretz was created with the He, because we have another Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis. The Pasuk says that Ela toldos Shamayim Behi Baram, and the Medrash says, don't read it as Behi Baram, but as Behei Baram, that these are Shemayim and Aretz that Hashem created with the Hey. And even though it says Shemayim and Aretz in that Pasuk, the Ramban says at the very beginning of the Torah, and in a couple places in Bereishis, the Ramban says that when the Torah says at the very beginning of Bereishis, it says, Bereishis Bar Elokim Es HaShemayim Ves Aretz, Hashem created Shemayim and Aretz. That Shemayim in the very first Pasuk is never discussed again in the rest of the Torah. That Shemayim is the spiritual world. And the rest of the Torah, when we say Shemayim, we mean the sky, or sometimes, you know, the heavens and whatever it is, but we don't mean Shemayim as in the spiritual world. We mean Shemayim as in the celestial bodies and the sky, the clouds and the stars and the sun and all of that, the cosmos. So when the Pasuk says, Eila tolo Shemayim behi baram behe baram, that Shemayim and Aretz, meaning the sky and the earth, that they were created with a hay. So if Aretz was created with a hay, and Shemayim and Aretz was created with a yud and a hay, so that leaves that the yud was created, that Shemayim was created with the yud, right? And therefore, make a long story short, that Shemayim and Aretz were created with a Yud and a He. And the name Yud He represents that chibur, that connection of Shemayim and Aretz. The creation of Shemayim and Aretz together is represented by the name Yud He, represents that connection between Shemayim and Aretz. And the Nefesh HaChaim actually explains in more detail than just the simple level we'll mention, but the Nefesh HaChaim says that when we say in Kaddish, we say Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach, the Nefesh HaChaim says that first word, Yehei, is actually Yud-Hei. And what we're saying is Yud-Hei Shmei, that Yud-Hei, Hashem's name, should be Rabba, should be increased, that the connection between Shemayim and Aretz, which is the source of all bracha, is that connection that the physical world has to the spiritual world. That's the source of all bracha in the physical world, is that it has a connection with the spiritual world. That should be rabba, that should be increased, it should intensify, and therefore all of the reboy of bracha should come into this world through the name of Yud Hey being increased. That they're being in that, but that's the idea of Yud Hey. Is that connection, the name Yud-Hei, is that connection between Shemayim and Aretz. And that's that Amalek waged war against Yud-Hei. It's Yad al-Kes Yud-Hei, Milchama ba-Amalek, that the Milchama, the war of Amalek, was against that name Yud-Hei, because the Milchama, the war against Amalek, was against the Chibor, was against the connection between Shemayim and Aretz. So, And that's the thrust of the idea of Amalek, is that they're creating a suffix, they're creating a doubt in the ultimate doubt, in the ultimate nature of existence, and they're saying that Hashem is up there and we're down here and we're separate from him and we can do what we want. And there's no connection between Shemayim and Aretz. A Malek, as long as a Malek exists, Hashem's name is incomplete. The idea of a name, the idea of a shame, a name always represents, always signifies the way that others relate to something. A name is not necessary for an entity to relate to itself. If you only are able to self-identify using your name, if you need your name to place yourself, then you should seek help, right? You need names in order to keep track of other people, but hopefully your sense of self is not based off of your name. It's based off of an innate sense of self-existence. But you need other people's names are how you place them, how you relate to them and what's the word I'm looking for? Compartmentalize your relationships to other. The name is always the interface by which you relate to others. You need someone else's name in order to get their attention. But the name is not for an entity to relate to itself. Like the idea of a shame is the idea of a reputation. It's how others relate to you. Like we find many psukim and chazal who use the idea of shame in this way. Like Pasuk says, tov shame mi shemen tov, that a good name is better than quality oil. That doesn't mean a good name, is means a good reputation. And that someone who maligns someone else is called that they are motzi shemra, that they have brought out a bad name, right? When you give someone else a bad reputation, you're giving them a bad name. We have that expression in English also, right? A bad name means you have a bad reputation. The idea of a name is your reputation. It's the way in which others relate to you. It's the way in which others identify you and others. It's the way in which you are expressed to others. So the names of Hashem all represent different methods of how a Kadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. That's why we have things that we call like the name of mercy and the name of justice and the name of we have that Yud Kei Vav Kei it represents the Midah of Rachamim, because that name is the name which relates to a certain way in which Hashem expresses itself. The right way, the name Elohim is the name of Din, because each name of Hashem represents a different way in which Hashem interacts with the world. And all of the shemos, all of the names of Hashem, are the representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perceived by the world. And the name of Hashem, when we just talk, not any specific name, but we just say the name of Hashem, means the perception of Hashem in the world. And as long as a Malik exists, that the representation of Hashem in this world, that understanding of Hashem as being the sole koach, the sole power and force that exists, that appreciation of that understanding is skewed as long as a Malik exists. So this is something that right now we don't see this existence. It's something that even if intellectually we can possibly come to know it, but we don't live it. A different discussion that perhaps maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was the only person in history who perhaps came to a hasaga and living with that reality. Discussion for a different time. But we, as living in this world, so we don't live with that reality. Reality as we have it contains this dichotomy where we know, or we're meant to know and be aware intellectually, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is the only real existence, and our existence is somewhat of an artificial construct. But we're supposed to live in that reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us a Torah and mitzvos, by definition, is predicated on us perceiving our own existence. If I don't really exist, so then there's no point in my doing Torah and mitzvos, because I'm not real. The whole predicate of existence is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live within that reality. And halacha follows that appreciation, because when something good happens, when something which we perceive as being good happens, we make a bracha of hatov v'hametiv. And when something which we perceive as being bad happens, we make a bracha of baruch dayan ha'emes. And if a person, when something bad happens, says, well, I know that really Hashem is in charge of everything, and that, you know, he's in ultimate control, and really there is nothing bad, and everything comes regular, and therefore I'm going to make hatov ameitiv on something which is perceived as bad. It's a bracha levatala. They've made the incorrect bracha, because we're mandated to live within the reality of the world in the way we perceive it. However, in the future, there will be no more bracha of Baruch Dayan Emes, because we say that az yamali sechok pinu, that then when a Kaddish Baruch Hu reveals himself, bayom hahu yiyah Hashem echad ushmo echad, that Hashem will be one and his name will be one, right? In the future, that we'll see that it's all one thing, that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is in absolute control. And at that point, there will be no more bracha of Baruch Dayan Emes, because it'll be revealed to us how a Kaddish Baruch Hu is absolutely in control and everything is that way. But as long as we're living in this world, we're meant to live within that reality. And eventually, we'll see and appreciate how everything is a direct fulfillment of Hashem's will. And therefore, we don't say in this bracha, in the line before, I think I mentioned this in our previous class, but just to that, we don't say Yavi Goel, we don't say the Yavi Goel, he will bring a redeemer. We say Umevi Goel, that Hashem is bringing a redeemer for the Jewish people. Because we don't say that in the future a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to do something and then things will be good. But everything that happens is perfectly in line with Hashem's plan and is exactly what's necessary to complete it and to bring the world to its fruition. We just can't see how at this point. But by Yom Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, but then his shame will be one, and we'll understand it with the destruction of Amalek, with the eventual defeat of the forces that represent that opposition, with erasure of the appearance that there is something else other than Hashem's will, so Hashem's name will be complete. The halacha, we say that when safik brachos, when you don't know what bracha to say, so we have a rule called safik brachos lahakel, but there's a halacha that if you don't know which bracha to say, so you say, in a bracha rishona, in a bracha achrona, you have a safik bracha, okay, fine, but when you have a food in front of you and you don't know what bracha to say, and you're in a situation, not to get into all the nitty-gritty of the halacha, but you're in a situation where you can't clarify it and you have no one to ask and you have a legitimate lack of knowledge, but when you have a safik brachos, you have a doubt, so the way to eliminate the safik is you say, shahakol nihiyah bidvaro, that you say that everything is as Hashem wants it. The elimination of a safek, the removal of a safek, is the realization, is the declaration that everything really is exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. Because safek is the appearance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not absolutely in control. There's room for autonomy, there's room for people to contravene HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan and his will. And the declaration, HaKol Nihyeh Bidvaro, that everything is exactly according to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be, that is the elimination of a safek. That's what you do to erase a safek. There's a common understanding that, if anyone wants to remember this, it's a nice thing to pull out for around Purim time. There's a common understanding that Haman used a lottery to decide the day of the destruction of the Jewish people as an act of the epitome of randomness. However, the opposite is really true. If you look throughout Mikra, throughout Tanakh, that a lottery throughout Scripture, throughout Tanakh, always represents the purest act of Hashgacha, the way to make something the clearest revelation of divine providence is leaving it completely up to Shemayim to determine, is done by a goral, is done by a lottery. The borders of Eretz Yisrael, of the tribes, of the Shvatim of Eretz Yisrael in Israel, were determined by a lottery, and we find the idea of a goral is used throughout Tanakh as a way of having hashgacha, having divine providence on something. So Haman, and we see that Haman himself wanted to conduct an honest authentic Goral, an honest lottery. When he cast the lots, the Medrash says that first he put in 31 pieces of paper, one for each day of the month, and one that was a blank one, to allow for the possibility that there was no day of the month which was the most opportune day of the month. And then, and that's what happened. He pulled out the, he matched up the whole complicated process, but he basically ended up that no day ended up, it came out blank. The blank day was the day that came out in the lottery. There was no day which was chosen. And the same with the months. He put in 13 pieces because he had one which was blank to represent to represent the possibility that no month is the most opportune month, because Haman wanted to do a real, authentic, bona fide lottery. So Haman was trying, the goal of Haman, Haman as the heir of Amalek, what Haman was trying to show that the height of Hashgacha was really just chance, that he's taking that which is meant to be the greatest representation of Hashgacha, and showing that there was no divine protection for Klal Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, a strange Pasuk, the Pasuk says that Haman hipil pur hu ha-goral, that Haman made a pur, and that was the goral. The words pur and goral really both seem to mean the same thing, two synonyms which mean a lottery. But the idea of the word pur, so pur, according to the Malbim, comes from the Lashon of perer, which means of crumbling, something that's made up of pieces, something, it's fragmentation, that's something that, that is made up of all kinds of different parts. There's no unity to it. It doesn't go together. Pur also could be from the Lashon of hafer, which means to nullify or to invalidate something. That the pur is the, it's random chance. It falls out however it does. It's not a valid method of determination. Haman, as opposed to a goral, is that's the vehicle of Hashgacha. That's the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Zeh goralecha menas midayich, Zeh goralech menas midayich, that this is your goral, your measured out portion. The Pasuk refers to that which fell out to you as your lot through a goral, as that was your measured out portion. It's exactly what you're supposed to get. The goral is measured out. It's precise. Haman's goal, hipil pur hu ha-goral, was that Haman wanted to show that that pur hu ha-goral, that the epitome of Hashgacha, was really just random. And that was the, because that was the mission, that was the idea of Amalek, was that there is no such thing as Hashgacha. That which is, you know, supposed to be the highest point of Hashgacha, it's just random, it's just chance. And that's exactly the deliciousness of Purim, is that he flipped the goral back on Haman and showed through the goral, showed how everything fit together, exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, was the ultimate show of through the pur, showing the goral, through Haman's attempted display of randomness, showing the Hashgacha. And that was the, that was Vinahafohu, that was the flip, that was the story of Purim, was that display. So Hashem, what does it mean Hashem brings the Geula for the sake of his name? Hashem brings the Geula for, so that his name will be complete. By Yomahu, Yi Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, that Hashem's name will be complete, meaning his representation in the world will be complete, will be unified, it will be Echad. Because right now, as long as there's an Amalek, as long as there is this vehicle bringing into the world this apparition, that there's chaos, that there is a, that there is an opposition to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not absolutely in charge. So Hashem's representation in the world is incomplete. We don't fully recognize how Hashem is absolutely in control, but it's only that for the sake of his name, to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely and ultimately in charge and absolutely in control, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Geula L'ma'an Shemo, for the sake of his name, for the sake of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with the world. And that leads into the next clause, that the purpose of Hashem bringing the Geula is for his name, but does not mean for good PR, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting a bad rap, and therefore to make sure everybody appreciates how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, he wants, you know, that he has this ego that he needs to make sure everyone appreciates exactly how great he is. But it's that it's Laman Shemo Be'ahava, that it's the motivation is out of love for us. the word love, ahava, Rav Dessler discusses this, other sources, that the word ahava comes from the root hav, which means give, as in kishem Hashem ekra havu godel le'elokeinu, that when you call out Hashem's name, you should give, attribute greatness to Hashem's name. Or the Yaakov says, hav li es ishti v'avo alea, give me my wife. Hav means to give. Ahava, if you conjugate the word, really means, won't drag you through the Hebrew grammar of it, but if you do the shoresh of the word hav, which means give, ahava would literally translate into I will giveness. Right? Ahav means I will give, and ahava would mean I will giveness, a state of I will give. It's a state of wanting to give to another. Something done ba'ahava means that it's done out of a desire to give. So when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu that brings the ge'ula out of love for us, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings it for the sake of his name out of love for us, in order for us to be able to perceive and appreciate the completeness of his perfection, and to be able to enjoy that, to appreciate that perfection that we are a part of, that we are a part of bringing about. The revelation of Hashem's complete oneness is therefore understood to be for our own good, because it's through our the source of all good is our ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the more complete and the more perfect our appreciation and understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, the greater it is for us to be able to appreciate exactly the relationship that we have. And therefore, it's Laman Shemo, it's for the sake of his name, Be'ava, for our sake, in order for us to fully be able to appreciate and to benefit from experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings this revelation, make sure that we have this complete understanding of exactly the absoluteness and the totality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. That's Laman Shemo Be'ava. All right. I don't know how to do it.